Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, my name is Bob Davis, and we are here at Basic Gospel, a ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question you'd like to pose or a topic of interest we can discuss, give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number is valid in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Call right now if you can. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. If you've listened to the radio broadcast for very long, you know that my favorite book in the New Testament is Colossians.
Yes.
It was the book God used to really open up my eyes to see the reality of this gospel message, to realize that salvation is all about new life. I received Christ at a summer camp my seventh grade year, or the summer before my seventh grade year, knew that I needed Jesus. God revealed that need to me, loved me enough to let me know, and I responded to a gospel presentation, and I prayed to receive Christ. Now, I had no earthly idea what that meant. I had no earthly idea what it meant to be saved, what that entailed as far as what God had done in my life. It was 8 years later that I finally found out the good news, yeah, that God made me alive together with Christ, and that was going through the book of Colossians. Also learned in that great book that all of my sins had been forgiven, and I love Colossians 2:13 for that very reason, because it really captures that, yeah, gospel message, the fact that we were dead and the uncircumcision of our flesh, but we were made alive together with Christ. He's forgiven all of our sins. But as a book, another reason that I really love the book of Colossians, because it lifts Jesus up almost like no other. I could say the book of Hebrews does the same, and really we see this all throughout. But Paul had a mission. The folks in Colossae were taking all of the different messages that they were hearing, all of the popular philosophies, and they were trying to blend it together to come out with one singular message. And Paul was saying, what do you need all that stuff for? You got Jesus.
Yeah.
And so he talks about Jesus in just this sublime way that really lifts the mind to see Jesus for who he really is. And this passage that we're going to talk about today, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, does it like no other. So the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So you can drag everything out there in the world and compare it to Christ. And at the end, Christ is going to reign supreme. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no one like him. There's been no one that has walked planet Earth that could compare to Jesus. When he walked on the shores of Galilee and he spoke it to Peter and Andrew and said, come and follow me, there was something so mesmerizing, something so that drew them so much that they left everything and followed Jesus. That's the type of person this Jesus is. And we see here exactly his essence. I mean, he's the image of the invisible God. If we want to know what God's like, we look to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, if you just take the words by themselves, you go, huh?
Yeah.
If something or someone is invisible, how can something be an image of them and be sensible?
Right.
And yet, with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his strength, Paul knew that Jesus was the image of the invisible God. Why? Because he'd met him,
right,
on the road to Damascus, and that life-changing moment literally made life possible for so many of the rest of us, because we weren't looking at Jesus. We needed somebody to explain him to us, and Paul and Peter and John and the rest. But this statement, so amazing, and if you let it sink in, then you'll understand that it's not insane. It's the the best, smartest, most sane thing any of us can believe.
Yes, it is. And so when it really talks about the image, it's talking about the essence. I mean, Christ and God are the same essence,
yes,
the same nature. So you look at Christ, you see God. You know what,
yeah,
God is like. You know that God is love. And that's what we didn't know before. We wanted that to be true. We hoped that to be true. But our sin was telling us a different story about God. We were thinking that he was this mean old ogre in the sky, that he was this nasty judge, this vengeful being that was out to take revenge, to punish, to just make our lives a miserable existence. That's the story that sin was telling us. That's the story the world was telling us. But that wasn't the true story. Jesus came along, and because he's the very essence of God the Father, they are one in nature, he and the Father are one, we get to know what God is really like. And then it says that he's the firstborn over all creation. This doesn't mean that he was born in the sense that you and I were born. This means preeminence. This means,
yes,
his position in the universe over creation. He reigns over creation. In him, all things were created, things on heaven, in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible. It goes on to say, he is before all things, and in him, all things hold together.
Damn.
Now, that's something I want to focus on just for about 30 seconds. Our lives oftentimes seem like they're falling apart. They're unraveling like a cheap sweater. And you know, it's because we're trying to hold them together through human effort, through worldly solutions. We're trying to piece them together as best that we possibly can, and the harder we work, the more chaotic life becomes. Well, when we turn away from human effort and look to Jesus, we see how he holds our lives together, that he's the one that mends these broken hearts. He's the one that makes us whole and complete. He's the one that fills those empty spaces inside of us so that we can stand complete, fulfilled in him. So if your life, if you feel like your life is unraveling today, take a look at Jesus.
Yeah.
He will mend it, he will bring it together, and he will hold it together. Why? That's just who he is.
And that is good news.
Yes.
It's the kind of news, friends, that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, and we're glad you're with us to hear it today. If you have a question, something you'd like to like us to discuss on the broadcast, give us a call at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Friends, our DVD series, The Reformation Project, encompasses the five truths that ignited the Protestant Reformation. It's the same truths that ignite a work of freedom in our hearts today. And with that in mind, I want to point out again that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program, a ministry of good news, and we need your ongoing support to help us keep that good news coming. And with your gift in October, we have a copy of The Reformation Project for you. Now, Richard, we only have a few days remaining for this particular offer, this series of The Reformation Project, to our supporters who make a gift to the ministry. What would you say to encourage everyone to take advantage?
Oh, my. If you want to know the core of Christian belief, this is the series for you. Bob and I did it in a very short and succinct way. Each one of these topics could be explored for a lifetime. But what we did on purpose was to create something that would generate a conversation. And you could sit down with your wife or your husband or one of your kids or a friend. It doesn't have to be in a big official setting of any kind.
Sure.
Just watch one of these things and then talk about it. What does it mean to have the Bible as the only rule for faith and practice? What does it mean to have grace and faith? And why is Jesus so important? And what is this glory of God thing all about? And each of those, if followed, will lead you closer to Jesus and make a difference in your life. You don't have to sit down and say, well, should I stop smoking? No, come to Jesus. Let's see, I don't get along with my wife quite as well as I think I should. Come to Jesus. Understand who he is and what he has done have that conversation with people and watch the change happen.
Yeah. Friends, I think those are compelling reasons for you to get a copy of The Reformation Project, a DVD series by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. And to get yours, just make your donation during the month of October to Basic Gospel. You can do that either of actually three good ways. You can go to basicgospel.net and click the donate link. You can do that by phone at 844-322-2742. And in the U.S. and Canada and beyond, you can use PayPal as the best opportunity, the best way to make your donation to Basic Gospel. And we encourage you to do that. This offer will be ending at the end of this month, and I sure hope you'll take advantage of that. And friends, we have a great question, I think, from this is from Anthony in Biloxi, Mississippi. And he says, as Paul explained in Romans, since Adam's disobedience, every individual enters the world spiritually dead, but may gain life through faith in Jesus Christ. As wonderful as this truth is it compelling to the people who lack spiritual ears? If the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, and whoever does not believe stands condemned already, how important is it that the unsaved first see themselves in the mirror of the law before hearing grace? I'm now in apparent remission, but it was true that when I grasped that I had cancer, only then did I value my doctor's solution. If the unsaved do not grasp the bad news, do they truly value the good news? That's from Anthony in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Well, we have to. We need to know what we're being saved from and what we're being saved to. I think most of us know that there's a problem deep within us. Most of us don't have a problem admitting that we're sinners. Most of us don't have a problem admitting that something's wrong. But it's coming to that awareness. You know, when I was at that youth camp. I went to that youth camp to have fun. I wasn't asking those age-old questions, who am I, why am I here, where am I going? Those weren't bothering me. Those things weren't keeping me up at night. But when I saw that presentation of Jesus and what his death on the cross meant, and the guy who gave that, he had a beard, and he actually portrayed the crucifixion.
Yeah.
And I felt the pain and agony that Jesus, I mean, as much as I could, I felt that, and I knew that he did that for me. And that stirred all sorts of things inside of me. I knew I needed Jesus because it surfaced, just seeing that presentation of Jesus surfaced what was wrong inside of me, that here was Jesus, he was answering a problem in my heart. I knew that I was guilty. I knew that I had not done right. And so Jesus was the answer to that. So it was the presentation of Jesus that made a difference for me. Now, as I've grown in Christ, I've understood more clearly why it had to be by grace through faith in Jesus. Yeah. I've understood that sin is utterly sinful, and the consequence of sin. So those things have become more clear to me as I've grown in my knowledge of Christ Jesus, and I think that's true of everyone. So, you know, I think we just present Jesus, and I think that presentation of Jesus, that good news story about Jesus, is going to prick human hearts. I think this gospel message will divide between soul and spirit, and people will be able to see what's really going on inside of them. So just deliver Jesus and leave the results of that in God's hands. You know, when Paul was on that road to Damascus, he just encountered Jesus, and Jesus asked the question, why are you persecuting me? And at that moment, everything became crystal clear for Paul. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute, I thought God's will, God's plan was Israel. And now God's plan, God's will is standing right in front of me. His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm moving away from that over there to Jesus. And as he did, we went out into the desert, spent 3 years just learning from Jesus. And that's when all of this information came to him about the purpose of the law and what the law had actually done. And so when he looked at it and saw it, he realized he was dead as far as the law was concerned. So deliver Jesus, leave the results of that in God's hands. We're going to, you know, as people grow in their knowledge of him, they're going to grow in their awareness of why Christ is the only way.
Absolutely. Anthony, thank you for your question, and I hope that's a help to you.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Plano, Texas, and talk to Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for your ministry. The true gospel message, viewing the Bible through the New Covenant lens, has just been life-changing.
That is life-changing, isn't it?
It is. And, Bob, you and I had the pleasure of, at least I had the pleasure of having coffee with you a few months ago. So it's good to chat with you.
Well, that was a wonderful meeting, and I sure appreciated that time. That was great. It was a pleasure for me as well, just hearing your story and just the excitement in your heart about this relationship with Christ and resting in his finished work and really embracing this new covenant. That was a great encouragement to me, my friend, and I know that many folks have contributed to that, our friend Andrew, and so it was just great hearing your story.
Well, thank you very much, and I have a question, and I think it's probably one you deal with a lot, but it's the right way to pray for healing for someone else, and about a year ago, our son was diagnosed with a chronic disease. He's okay, but he's at a fairly advanced stage for such a young age. And I'm trying to figure out how to pray for him and what my expectation should be. There are a number of, like you said, there are a number of pastors and writers who have greatly encouraged me with the New Covenant message. And there are two of them that have very specific views on praying that, you know, when Jesus on the cross conquered sin, he conquered not only its spiritual effects, but its physical effects. And that if the Christian asks in faith that, you know, healing will happen. I have a friend who also believes the message of the New Covenant, the true gospel, who says, no, my friend, that's not the way that it works. And you're setting yourself up for disappointment. You can't just pray a certain way and expect God to act a certain way. And I guess I know that's the truth, but I just was looking for some guidance maybe as to, given the fact that we're his children and, you know, we are good fathers, but we're evil compared to him. And we want to give good things to our children, and he wants to give good things to his children. How, viewing the Bible from a New Covenant lens, how should I pray for God to heal my son, and what should my expectations be? And I'm just a little bit confused because, like I said, different preachers who preach the true gospel and the New Covenant preach different things about that. And I would just, sorry for the long way of asking the question, but just wondering what you guys could tell me to guide me on that.
Well, Jeff, that's a great question, and you know, our hearts go out to you as far as your son is concerned, and we would all be asking that same question. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to pray for my son or for my wife or for my daughter or my mom or my dad? I know your heart's desire is for your son to be freed from this, to be totally healed. And so I would encourage you to pray in that regard. Now you leave the results of that in God's hands. The other thing that I would encourage you to do is your son is going through all kinds of emotional ups and downs with this disease. And, you know, Christianity, we talk about the fact that it's interested in the souls of men. And so I tell people, if you're interested in the souls of men, find out what's going on in the souls of men. So you have this great opportunity as a dad to really sit down with your son and ask what's going on deep inside of him. And as y'all have that conversation, then I think you have some real specifics that you can pray about. Is your son afraid? Is he angry? Is he, you know, there's all those sorts of things. And as you have that discussion with him, then y'all can have conversations about how to trust the Lord in those matters. And then when you're alone or with your wife and y'all are praying together, then you have some very specific things that you can pray in this situation. And watch God do some mending of the heart. Because I think the primary thing for you, I would think, is the healing of your son's heart spiritually. And if he can come to that point and know that he is loved by God, that his sins are forgiven, that he can have peace.
You know, whatever is affecting him is not his fault.
Right.
Now, it's not, I did something wrong. It's not. We live in this sinful world. So taking that fear, that guilt away, goes a long ways toward, you know, getting his heart with Jesus where it belongs.
So I would have those conversations and just see what's going on down in his soul and make that a matter of prayer in this situation.
Okay. Yeah, and I've done that. It's been a while, and it's amazing. God taught me quite a bit because I think he's had a lot more faith about it, and he's been a lot more trusting about it, even from the outset, than perhaps his mother and I have been. And but I'll definitely have those conversations.
Do that. And as far as the disease, continue to pray, Lord, please heal my son. I mean, that's your heart's desire, right?
Absolutely.
And that's your son's desire. Pray that. But don't do so with strings attached to it. I prayed, therefore, God, you're obligated. Pray because that's your desire, and then leave the results in God's hands. This is just life that's come your way, come your son's way. It's not a punishment for anything. It's just life, isn't it? And you have a chance to rest in the love of God. If you're going to rest in the love of God, if you're going to grow in your knowledge of God, then this is the situation that's going to have to occur in. So I think you can look at it in that way. Pray your heart's desire. Leave the results of that in God's hands.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, Jeff, great question. And, you know, hug your son for us, okay?
Yeah.
I will
let him know we're praying for him. And what's his name? Right. What's his name?
His name is Jack.
His name is Jack. Okay. Well, we will remember Jack. And thank you for letting us know and for calling today. We're sure appreciative of that, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
And let's get together soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call, Jeff. Friends, remember that if you're visually oriented, you can join us on the Facebook or YouTube channels as we stream live video each day. One more way that God has given us to share the gospel, and we hope that you'll take advantage of that. Hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, at Basic Gospel, that's our hope for everyone who listens to this program. Telling this story as often as we can to as many people as we can, but it's only possible with your help. And with your help during the month of October, with your gift during this month to Basic Gospel, we're going to send you this excellent DVD series by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, The Reformation Project, 5 Truths That Ignited the Protestant Reformation and Can Do a Good Work in Our Hearts Even Today. Click donate at basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742. You can use that number anytime, 24 hours daily, and we'll send you a copy of The Reformation Project. Again, that's basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. I want to remind you that you can stay tuned and connected with Basic Gospel with the Basic Gospel app. We hope you'll download it soon. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.